All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk artillery, we're going to talk missiles, we're going to talk future weapons. Kind of all around, who's got the biggest guns? You know, who can really put the most hurt on somebody? And now, artillery goes way back. I think we had, catapults, you said, around 400?
Around 300 BC.
Oh, BC?
The first catapults, right.
All right, so we're going way back. Around the 13th century, the Chinese had some kind of rocket tubes. So that was the first, like, propelled, I think, really stuff around the 1300, right. You know, rockets. And then they kind of fell out of favor for a little bit. Da Vinci developed some kind of 12 or 13 barrel, almost like a Gatling cannon. Like it didn't have the whole cool Gatling thing going on.
Right. Didn't turn around and stuff, but
a 13 barrel cannon is still pretty impressive, you know? And then, well, it's just been impressive and getting better and better. Revolutionary War, we had some stuff. What'd you have there?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about the Siege of Yorktown,
okay.
Which was the last major battle of the Revolutionary War. Lord Cornwallis was set up shop over in Yorktown, which is hypothetically it's a good position because he could easily get resupplied. You know, it's right on the water. He had his back to the water and could fortify Yorktown. Yorktown was like a small fishing village then. It wasn't like a big city like it is now.
Naval weapons station. Okay.
Yeah. So he was expecting supplies to be resupplied by the British, Navy, but the French Navy was there and they fought a big battle and chased off the British. So he was basically stranded there with, he had, what was it? About 10,000 troops. Okay. And they fortified the city. And then George Washington shows up, right? He's got all the big guns and not just the cannons, but he's got Benjamin Lincoln. Henry Knox shows up with him. Alexander Hamilton's there. Frederick Wilhelm von Steuben. Ooh. Who, if you're an American, you know that some states have actual Von Steuben Day.
Really?
Where kids get off of school. Yeah.
Everybody loves
Von Steuben.
Is that true? That's the thing? Okay.
Yeah, in Illinois, the kids had school off. I don't know what other states do it, but.
So you were the only wackos out there. Okay.
Von Steuben Day. Thomas Nelson was there. Moses Hazen. Henry Dearborn. These are all. Now, if you look any of these guys up, they're all like famous founding fathers. These were all the like serious dudes.
The big guns and artillery. All right.
And all on top of all that, Marquis de Lafayette. Now, he was a French guy, and him and Washington were like best buds. You know, they loved hanging out with each other, bullshitting, drinking together. And I looked up this guy, Marquis de Lafayette. Apparently he's got a long name, and they always shorten it. So his full name is Marie-Joseph Paul Ives Roche Gilbert de Montier de Lafayette, Marquis de Lafayette.
Okay.
So Marquis is like a noble title. It's above a count and below a duke, if you know anything about that. I don't, but if that's something you're into.
All right. And we just call him Jack for short.
That's right. So altogether, there's about 19,800 American troops or U.S. and French troops and 10,000 British troops. The British troops were fortified and set up in Yorktown, and they had a good position, but since they couldn't be resupplied, they were kind of fucked because they ended up having a siege. And basically how it set up was the American forces basically dug trenches all around the outside of the city.
Okay.
And they set up their cannon, which had a longer range, had about 1,000 to 2,000 yard range for those cannons. They had field guns and siege guns.
All right.
They fired, dug trenches closer and closer, and then they could set up their mortars. Mortars were basically they had a high trajectory, and they would go over the earthworks and explode over the troops, sending down like shrapnel.
Raining hellfire.
Right. Got it. Then they got closer and they were able to set up howitzers. Now howitzers have about a 1300 yard range at max. And they could be used as cannon, you know, like a straight shot towards the enemy, but also, you know, lob cannonball over top of the earthworks to rain down on the city. About this time, the British basically run out of food and they're just getting the shit blown out of them. So they have to surrender. They don't have any choice. So basically, Lord Cornwallis, in like one of the classic bitch moves of history, says that he's sick. He can't surrender. He can't. Mm. So he sends his second in command out there. And second in command first goes to Lafayette to surrender his sword. And Lafayette's like, nah, dude, you got to surrender. You can't surrender to the French. You have to surrender to the Americans. So that was like humiliating. So he went to surrender to George Washington. And George Washington, you know, at this point, George Washington basically has the biggest dick on the continent. And he's, you know, he's all in. He's like, nah.
That's how that works.
I don't take surrenders from second in commands. You have to surrender to my second in command.
Nice.
And surrender to somebody, you know, to his second officer. So basically that was the end of the American War. There are a couple other little battles, but this led directly to the end of the war. So the British lost 244 pieces of artillery to the Americans then, and had to surrender 10,000 troops. And the troops all smashed their rifles so that the Americans couldn't get it, but they did get all artillery and all their cannons. And basically they became prisoners. A lot of the time during these wars, they would just like take your weapons and let you go.
Get out of here.
Yeah. They're like, nah, you gotta stay here until the war's over.
Nice. Nice. I had a nice Yorktown story, but now you took so long with that one, I'm not sure I can get there. But, you know, because I've actually been to the weapons station at Yorktown. And right. my ship was up there resupplying. And they were like, oh, well, you know, it'd be great if you could drive the ship's van up to Yorktown and meet us there so the officers could have something to drive around and pick up chicks or whatever. Right, I don't know what was going on, but so I go up there and so they have like, you know, nuclear weapons and stuff. This is back in the day and I'm sure they probably still do. I don't know, but they have like mines and stuff randomly all over the ground. I mean, this is like a hardcore don't fuck with us kind of place. And I show up and there's a road and a little guardhouse. There's no gate. And whatever. So I pull up to the guardhouse and it's got this mirrored glass and you can't see anything. It's just straight mirror in the thing. And I sit there, no shit. I sit there probably 10 minutes. Nobody comes. So I'm like, oh, fuck it. The guy's probably asleep, you know, whatever. That's not my problem. So, Well, it turns out maybe it is. But so I drive in. And the guy comes out and like shoots his gun into the ground next to the van or whatever, and is hollering and screaming. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? What's your problem? And he's like, hey, you didn't see me. I told you to wait. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, I put my finger up. You should have waited. I was on the phone. And I'm like, dude, it's got mirrored glass. I can't right. see shit. Like, what do you? And he's like, fucking ridiculous. This is a secure facility. You can't, and whatever. But you get the idea. I don't know. I just came away with what fucking jackass.
All wound up. Wound up over nothing. Firing off guns. Like, you have to fill out a whole report for that. You know
what I mean? Hey, I'm like, you know, dude, what? I'm going to steal the nukes? You know, come on. Anyway.
That's classic.
Anyway, so we move from Revolutionary War.
Right.
Where do we go?
July 3rd, 1863.
All right.
So this is, we're talking about Gettysburg. Pickett's charge, Union forces led by George Meade against Confederate forces led by Robert Lee. They had about the Union had about 10,000 soldiers in this particular part of the battle, and Robert E. Lee's forces were about 12,500 soldiers. So basically what had happened was they attacked the left flank and realized that it was heavily fortified, and they attacked the right flank and realized that was heavily fortified. So they decided that the next morning they were going to attack the center. Meade kind of anticipated this and moved the guys in from the left and the right flank and fortified the center of the, you know,
really the wherever field. The bad guys moved, the guys just ran to the other side. Wait, we'll be right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they moved all, they all did this at night. So nobody could really see what each other was doing.
All right.
And so they started off with it. Now, let's see. They had about 170 cannon. This is Robert E. Lee's forces.
All right.
And they start off with a massive artillery barrage. This is the biggest artillery barrage that's ever happened in the United States, probably ever. And they had a 2 mile long line of cannon and just started shooting at the center. And it went on for about a half hour, and then they started advancing. What they didn't realize with the cannons were overshooting the line. They weren't actually doing a lot of damage. So General Meade, though, with all the smoke, nobody could see what was happening. So what he had them do was on the Union side, slowly stop firing their cannons. You know what I mean? Over time, pacing it out like they were being destroyed. So 12,000 guys started advancing across the field. It's about 3/4 of a mile to the Union lines.
All right.
And they get about halfway and realize none of those cannon had been destroyed. And they just start getting fucked up. They were in a bad spot, just out in the open. They kept advancing and managed to get to the line, the front line of the Union soldiers, and were able to start pushing them back, but then the whole thing ended up falling apart. This was one of the biggest casualty battles of the Civil War. So about 6,555 guys were killed or captured on the Union side, on the Confederate side, excuse me, and about 1,500 guys on the Union side. And basically, this was the end of the war, and this was one of the biggest artillery battles in the Union in the Civil War. And the Civil War is often considered like the first modern war, meaning that, you know, this is the first time people were using cannon and artillery as, you know, on an open battlefield as like direct fire, you know, aiming and hitting what you're aiming at. You know, before that, mostly those cannons were just fired in the general direction.
Right.
And, right. That this pray was a big change in artillery in world history.
Nice. Nice. Now, I'm going to jump way into the future because, I mean, you know, we could talk about shit. We could talk about, I mean, it's not really artillery and whatever, but we can talk about
Franco-Prussian war and
AK-47s changing the history of, you know, the future of war, you know, Gatling guns, which were happening in the Civil War. We had the whole Gatling gun thing going on. Let's jump up a bit because for the sake of time, the MLRS, Now, the MLRS, that's that multi-launch rocket system thing. Mm-hmm. This, I have a picture of a Russian one, but this thing, if you watch video, and because it's a podcast, I couldn't really pull off the whole video thing, you know, without
right.
it just being lame, shoots just nonstop freaking hammers these rockets so fast, and you just destroy an enemy. You know, it just think Iron Man type stuff in the beginning. You know, not right. the big Hellfire. You know, that stuff there, but it's crazy. The MLRS is just an amazing piece of war, but I don't know. There's so much. I don't want to delve into that too much too either. The next thing that is a huge game changer is hypersonic missiles. Now, hypersonic missiles are really the future of war. I hate to say it. I mean, well, I don't know. I have some other stuff at the end that maybe is the future of war. I don't really know. But hypersonic missiles are, well, I would say the end of war, right? That's when you just nuke the other right. countries and you're like, fuck it, it's done.
Right. Now, yeah, there's some, it's interesting right now because with what's happening in Ukraine, we're kind of getting to see all the best high tech stuff that everybody has to offer. You know what I mean? The French, the Poles, the Germans, the US, they're all sending their best weapons over there to like get them tested out against the
and
best
that's a big
of the,
thing. They're trying
the
to
Russians,
test it out, right?
Everybody got the best equipment and they're all using it against each other. And we're getting to see how all this stuff works in real life. Now, these hypersonic weapons that were developed by the Russians, amazing stuff. You know what I mean? So fast. And they change directions. Yeah. Like that's almost
right.
They said it was impossible to shoot it down. But the more modern Patriot missiles are actually taking some of them out, which is interesting because
it is.
Nobody thought that that was going to be possible.
Right. Now, hypersonic basically means it's going over Mach 5. So you're talking significant. But to be honest, a lot of them now are Mach 20, Mach 23. Mm-hmm. They're really, you know, kicking ass. But to be considered a modern hypersonic missile, basically, it changes direction while it's moving, like you were saying. And you figure if something's moving at, you know, whatever, Mach 23, I think that would be like something like 15,000 miles an hour, whatever. I think it's like 700 and something is Mach 1. And then, you know, from there. But so you have something going that fast. If you make a 1 degree shift in your direction, you're somewhere else, you know, in no time.
Right.
And then, you know, and they're back and forth. And that's kind of the beauty of them. There's basically two types. There's like cruise missiles and then there's glide missiles. And that's actually what we see more of is the glide missiles that are, you know, going that Mach 20. Mach
right. And they have like those glide missiles have like wings on them.
Yeah. Yeah,
like fins, but big fins.
I see a lot of them as like rectangle angle. That isn't the right picture, but and where they it helps with the changing and the gliding. Like they have these little chutes and whatever. They're pretty impressive, but they definitely kicking some ass. So China has one. That is called all theirs seem to be the Dongfang. So they're DF. We went like DF-27 and whatever. I think they just pull the numbers out of their ass or that, or they just like have a bunch of bad ideas because we seem to jump at like 12 numbers at a time. You know, we'll go from like DS-1 to DS-13, whatever. So we're at DF-41.
All right.
And they call it the MIRV. It basically, it's like a multi whatever, I don't know, but it has 10 nuclear warheads all in one. And they claim, now we have some like random pictures of it.
All right.
The bonus is I have the, I think, so the DF-41, there it is, ends up, you know, they're saying 12,000 kilometers an hour. Or the range is 12,000 kilometers. And I based on my experience in the military, the range is not always disclosed. We'll say that the capabilities,
like the range might be longer,
right,
or shorter.
Right. And I mean, it's a pretty impressive weapon. They're saying 23 Mach 23. It basically can go from Shanghai to New York. And they're saying with the 10 nuclear warheads, you would expect that you could just like annihilate something huge like New York City, like just the whole thing. But they actually have a Lego version out of China for $111.
I didn't think Lego made. Is that like a knockoff Lego?
Oh, it's Chinese. Lego made, yeah, before. Chinese knockoff Lego.
Okay.
And you're in. But they're basically, you know, considered the cutting edge. Now, the U.S. military, we want to get on board. So 2024 budget, we actually proposed 11, and they're, I don't know if this actually went through or not. They're working on $11 billion for the Pentagon so they can get 24 hypersonic missiles developed and built. Yeah, $11
billion. $11 billion. Dollars.
Missiles. But will be the standard. And that's the thing. You're paying so much, you know, for these. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you can't shoot them down. But how cool would you be if you could just shoot like 50 of them? And how cool if you could just send – that's the problem. We have these great missiles, right? We're going to shoot 24 nukes all over the world. Or they could just send a guy with a backpack who can walk into our open borders and come up from Mexico and whatever, you know? I mean, you go either way. Yeah. $1 billion.
It's fun. It's fun. Nuclear apocalypse. You know? I'm all in.
One of the cool things – so like you said, the Patriots are taking these things down. They're able to shoot down these different things. But things like the Gerald Ford has laser weapons that they're actually trying to use to shoot these things down.
Yeah, heard a big scare about Chinese lasers recently, how they developed some laser that doesn't heat up and it can just be fired nonstop. And, you know, there's a lot of scaremongering about the Chinese. I think the media loves to, like, you know, hype people up about that stuff. But the truth is that the U.S. also has some pretty effective laser weapons. And that's very weird because that was like 20 years ago, that was like science fiction. You know what I mean? That stuff didn't exist. You can't use lasers for anything.
So the cool thing, and this I actually didn't consider, and then I was reading it. I knew that they were always talking about aircraft carriers with having laser weapons to shoot down. And I'd heard stuff like that, and I was like, well, why aren't you putting that everywhere? And the reason is because you have kind of the limitless nuclear power on an aircraft carrier. And that's where it's kind of a game changer, because you're like, oh, I have, you know, nuclear power. Another type of laser weapon is they call it the active denial system. This basically, it's like they'll attach to the top of a Hummer or whatever, the pickup truck, whatever the hell you got in the backyard, a big like radar array screen kind of thing. And this shoots a 130 degree, 95 gigahertz heat wave. Basically, it's like if you open the oven door after you were baking and you get that kind of heat wave in the face. So it could make you feel uncomfortable. So, I mean, we did spend some money and got that going for us.
All right. It penetrates the skin 1/64th of an inch. So it just gives you excruciating pain, but doesn't actually hurt.
If you stand there for a while, you're definitely going to have a sunburn. So
you're going to feel uncomfortable. Okay.
You're going to feel uncomfortable. You know, that's, hey, you do you, right? You know,
I wonder how many billions of dollars it costs to develop that weapon.
Hey, you know, whatever you got to do, right? Now, I did mention Hellfire missiles. Now, these things are just awesome, and they're kicking ass. But we have this new version of the Hellfire called the Ninja Hellfire. And basically, it works off the same system. It's the R9X and it can be attached to reapers. I saw it on helicopters, all kinds of stuff. But basically, you have like fixed blades, or they pop out. So they're folding blades. They're not really fixed, but that end up, they're saying, so they can kind of target individuals, like you're hitting the guy in the car. But I mean, most missiles I know are like, you know, 150 grand at a minimum.
Yeah.
And so you can get that one guy in the car. Like, yeah. Are we really utilizing our money? You know,
yeah, I remember doing operations in, I think it was, we were out in the Atlantic. We were transferring weapons by helicopter. They're picking up missiles on, you know, with a helicopter, mm-hmm. taking from one ship to another. And if the rigging wasn't right or something went wrong, the helicopter would just drop them into the ocean. And yeah, they just dropped like $1 million worth of weapons into the ocean over like 5 hours, just because I didn't like the way that was sitting from the helicopter. So, I mean, you do what you do, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's
just taxpayer money. It's fine.
We'll make more. Yeah, no, I still have nightmares of them dropping my Mountain Dew in the ocean. So no, I feel your pain here. Russia has, they have a missile called the Zircon, that's a anti-ship, goes about Mach 9, shoots about 625 miles an hour. Now the cool thing with this is going that fast, and a little bit due to the design, it disrupts the air pressure in the front of it. And they say it kind of creates like a plasma cloud in front of it. Like it just disperses and disrupts the air, where it ends up like absorbing the radar. And it doesn't, you know, show up as well. But that's one of the ones you were talking about that we were able to shoot down with the Patriots. So, yeah, you know. Now, do you remember HAARP?
Yeah, you were talking about this earlier. HAARP, I don't really understand how this works.
Nobody does, because who knows? Out in Fairbanks, Alaska, we have this like transmission station, and basically they transmit frequencies, different, you know, high and low level frequencies that disrupt the atmosphere. And people were saying, oh, we're causing tsunamis and we're causing weather to change and doing all this stuff. It was the big thing with all the conspiracies. And I looked in, we were going to shut it down in 2014. And then they decided, you know what, let's transfer it to University of Alaska Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And so now the college is fucking with people. I don't really know. They're, you know, I don't know what's so out of it.
What does this thing do hypothetically? Like it creates like hurricanes? So
it's supposed to, officially they said to study the upper atmosphere.
All right.
It's long been the center of speculation designed to control the weather or worse. Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez claimed that the program triggered the Haiti earthquake. There were rumors that the tsunami that hit Japan, remember, mm-hmm. not that long ago, took out that nuclear facility.
Right, Fukushima.
That was caused by HAARP, is what they said.
Okay.
And what was weird is we had just said, hey, you know, if you don't get in line and do what we say, then you might get hit with a tsunami. Now, that's a weird statement to make.
That is a weird statement to make. Yeah.
And then they got hit.
And then there was a tsunami, huh?
And you know what? People don't talk back as much anymore. hey, you don't sell your property in Maui, you might get your house burned up by a laser.
Burn up. Yeah.
You know, whatever. Anything could happen. It's a crazy world out there. Another thing we used to hear about, remember rail guns? That was always the thing.
Yeah, that was also science fiction.
Yes.
Until recently. So
they make these and they're awesome because they're like, oh, they're super cheap because you're basically shooting a piece of metal. You don't even need explosives and it's just magnets.
Right.
But what you're not realizing is these things take so much energy in order to shoot it out. Yeah. It's not your instant, you know, recover thing. So yeah, you can shoot, you know, really fast, really far, but yeah, the end result is not exactly as impressive. They shoot about Mach 6. They go 110 miles is the range on a railgun.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, I guess it was the energy, but also they end up, you can only shoot about 10 rounds through it, and the whole thing kind of destroys itself because it's just so violent of a action.
Right.
But, you know, hey.
I wonder how accurate that, I mean, it seems like, I'm looking at the picture of it. It seems like they've got it, you know, they can adjust that pretty well and make it pretty accurate.
So that's the thing. China, I thought so
still,
I had a
still
nice,
kind of science fiction, though.
It's science fiction about putting it into practice.
Right.
Another one of my favorites, and this is not a future weapon. It hasn't really, it's been around a while. They actually had them when I was in the Navy, so a million years ago. They have the SeaWiz, the Phalanx.
Mm-hmm.
That's that Gatling gun that they shoot down missiles. I think, what was that movie with Steven Seagal and the battleship? They shot down siege. Those helicopters with it. It's not really meant to be used like that, but this thing shoots 4,500 rounds a minute, has a muzzle velocity at 2,500 miles per second. It's radar guided, and basically it needs about 2 seconds to react to kind of catch up to what's going on.
It's usually shooting down missiles, right? That's the main purpose of it. I mean, I've seen them and I've heard them fire, and it's amazing. Honestly,
it's loud and terrifying. Damn,
it's loud. It's loud as shit.
We shot it off. They had a like family cruise or something, and they fired that thing off, and it definitely terrified some people.
Yeah, all the kids were crying and shit afterwards, I'm sure.
I think I've told this story in the past, but it's a great one. We were shooting Tomahawk cruise missiles at a unfriendly neighbor one time, and and it was weird because like the beginning of the deployment, they're like all weird and everybody has to be inside and like hiding when we're shooting missiles and whatever. By the end of the deployment, we had shot so many missiles, they were just like, whatever, do what you fucking want, whatever. So me and some buddies, it's like 2 a.m, we're out on top of the ship and they're shooting a missile. And you know, this is one of our missiles coming out of our ship, and they have SeaWiz, so it's, I guess I'm going to use some weird words here because I'm not sure, but I would say it's active, like it's actively tracking, but not active to fire.
Right.
Okay. So we shoot the missile, it goes up, and if you've ever seen Tomahawks, they're not like a standard missile. A standard missile, like at the time it was like an SM-2 or whatever, this thing's going like Mach 2 before it leaves the ship. Like they're just gone. And when you watch it, it's just, holy crap, that thing's gone. Like you just see the smoke trail. They go so fast. A Tomahawk was totally different. They would go up and they'd kind of like float up and then just kind of hang there, and you'd watch it, and then it would go out over the horizon, and you're like, well, I could shoot that with a handgun. Like what? You know, you're not, whatever. So this thing goes out about as far as a football field, and then it turns around and starts coming right back at us. And we're like, oh shit. Comes, I swear I'm not exaggerating. It comes within like 10 yards of the side of the ship. And SeaWiz is freaking out, and we're standing right next to
it. Right, it's tracking
it. Tracking it, you know, going, you know, oh my God, we're going to die. And because the thing is, you shut it off when you're shooting your own missiles, because you don't want to shoot your own
shit out of the air.
That would be stupid. Unless you were trying to shoot yourself by accident. So the missile's coming about 10 yards from the side of the ship. It turns and goes straight down into the bottom of the ocean. And we see it like hit the ocean floor and just kind of burning out and going into the ground
all the way down.
And you could just see the end just burning and burning. And, you know, it doesn't explode or whatever. It just burning into the bottom. We're like, and like people were ready to jump off the side of the ship. Like it was just bad. We're all like, oh, we're going to die. And then no, nothing. Yep.
Nothing happened.
But, so anyway, Phalanx, SeaWiz, pretty freaking impressive. It's pretty terrifying. It's weird. I thought I had this picture of the railgun from China. They actually developed one as well. And it looks similar to ours, except they just covered it in plastic so you can't see that it doesn't work. And then the end is like wrapped in tin foil, which is kind of fun. So it, you know,
right.
If you just look up Chinese railgun, you'll be like, oh yeah, I see what you're talking about there. It's funny because a lot of militaries have good ideas or things they want, but they don't actually execute it or pull it off perfectly. Russia is actually known for that, for being a little show, no go. Like you were saying, all these, you know, threatening missiles they have going. I know Russia had this ship that we're in we had this thing called the Baltops, where it's a Baltic operation and you deal with other NATO countries and stuff. And we ended up, next to a Russian ship. And
this is in the Baltic Sea.
Yeah. And we were peered like moored next to a Russian ship. And we ended up going on the Russian ship and hanging out with the guys because, you know, we're all sailors, whatever. We had good time, This is 98, I think 98. So way back.
Are they back drinking before, on the ship at this point? 98?
The Germans were hardcore drinkers. The Russians, yes, there was a lot of vodka. Now, the Germans at the time, we went on their ship and they had kegs in the berthing. So they were living their best life. Dude, you could reach out of your rack and grab the nozzle of the keg and just like fill your beer and just not even
without even getting up.
Yeah. There was this chick and
what was it? Man, when I was in the Navy, it was like
I didn't have that.
You got like one beer every 6 weeks out or something like that without going. I think in my 6 month deployment, I only was allowed two beers aside of you know, when
I wouldn't give you more than two beers, but you know.
Well, it wasn't even on the same day. This was spaced out by weeks.
It's a sad day for America.
Yeah.
But they so we're on the Russian ship though, and we're talking to the guys, and they're like, yeah, those radars don't work. And that gun don't work. And like everything was broken and everything was scrapped for parts. But it was funny because you look at our ship and it's all like sleek and smooth, and you barely see any weapons. I guess we had two 5-inch guns, you know, one in the front, one in the back. And then we had
not like
64 missile launchers on each end. So I guess that's kind of like whatever, but it just looks smooth and whatever. When you come up next to it, it looks like a cruise ship, you know?
Right.
And you get on the Russian ship and there's like 40, you know, guns all everywhere and they look like daggers and whatever. And they're like, yeah, nothing works. We're barely holding this thing together with duct tape and, you know, whatever. So sometimes it's, you know, a paper tiger, I think is the description people would use. I don't know. But so I also think, though, you know, I mentioned future weapons, right? Now, rail guns are kind of a future weapon. And to me, lasers, like actually taking down things and shooting down missiles with lasers, to me, is pretty future weapon. That active denial heat ray. I mean, that is the future. It's kind of like the ray gun in Bugs Bunny. Remember that guy used to come and pointed it?
Marvin the Martian.
Martian. And it never like killed people. It just kind of,
turned them black. A little crispy on the outside.
But I think one of the biggest future weapons that we need to look out for is fake news.
Oh, shit.
I think the way that AI is, and the way, remember Russia was faking the moon landing, like they put out a picture. Obviously they weren't trying to say that they were the first ones there, but they put out these pictures that nobody could like detect that it was a fake of them on the moon first. And they were like, yep, fuck you. Look, we did it. You didn't. And
yeah,
but the point is that, you know, Glenn Beck always says, you won't believe your eyes. You know, we can see, you can create videos of Trump saying stupid things. Or
I actually saw a video.
Oh, wait, that was a real video of Trump saying stupid
things. We'll talk about that in the after show.
I got
comments. But yeah, I actually recently saw a video of Joe Biden and Donald Trump in a dance-off. And then at the end, they made out with each other. So, I mean, it looked
like
it really happened. Yeah.
You were like, hey.
I'm not saying that I know it was fake, but I don't feel like Donald Trump and Joe Biden are gay for each other. I'm not sure, but I don't think that that's how things are working out in real life. But honestly, with the amount that Joe Biden falls over, his dance moves were pretty damn impressive. You know, it seems like he can just be walking and just his legs give out and falls down, but he was breakdancing and it was great. It was great. Really impressive for a 90-year-old man.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I really, the focus of the episode, I wanted to talk about the fast cruise missiles and the, you know, the hypersonic weapons. Everything is just amazing. We really are stepping up our game, but I gotta say, I feel like the future of war is really, you know, information and, you know, hacking people, shutting down people's power grids and
misinformation.
But is it really the future? Or is it just war? Because, I mean, you remember Russia was the master at manipulating and whatever. You know, people still believe that the Pope was down with the Nazis and, you know, whatever, all that stuff. It, you know, because remember the Pope said, hey, I mean, this is what the Russia propaganda said. Oh, if you don't touch the churches, then, you know, we'll let you go and do your thing and kill all the Jews and just leave the church alone. There was a lot of stuff like that. Like, you make it, maybe is it believable? I'm not sure.
And yeah, this is news to me. I thought that was all true. And you're saying that it was maybe half-truths, huh?
Yeah, no, actually, there were a lot of the popes that they really tried to disparage. We're good guys who are working against them, and they really painted it completely different. Russia's really good at manipulating stuff, and they would put on plays and they would do stuff. And now we have YouTube and whatever, and we stare nonstop at Facebook and TikTok and whatever other thing.
And made up bullshit.
And it's a lot of made up bullshit. And you don't know. And that's the thing. You know, the internet, yeah, exactly. You know, Uncle Whiskey said, you know, basically the internet amplifies and, you know, does what the same war strategies that were always happening are just getting worse. And
the propaganda warfare. I mean, if you go back to the Cold War,
yeah,
man, it was just everything was terrifying. You know what I mean? You're any second, the entire everybody you know could be incinerated. You know what I mean? And man, it seemed like we were right on the edge for like 20 years.
Yeah, every other day, right?
Mm-hmm. Hiding under your desk, like that's going to keep you from turning into, you know, some black dust.
It's funny when I actually think about it, like when I look at actual facts, aside of maybe a day or two, somewhere around the whole JFK Cuban Missile Crisis thing, aside of a day or two there, we're probably closer to nuclear war right now at any minute than any other time in history. Like, I feel like Russia could be like, you know what? Fuck this. But like at any time, I just don't see Putin wanting to give up.
Yeah.
That, or he's really loving the fact that we're burning through all our money and all our weapons. Like, dude, nobody needs to fire a shot at America because we're just killing ourselves by all this money we're giving to Ukraine. It's insane, dude. Do you know that we are paying? Hey, I see you getting like, oh, we don't need to go down this road, but we are paying We're paying the salary of every firefighter and first responder in all of Ukraine right now. Do you know we're giving small businesses grants to keep going right now in Ukraine? In Ukraine, not in America, in Ukraine, to keep this stuff going. We're just insane. We're just totally killing ourselves. Just, and that's the thing. We're giving money, but are we? I mean, we're just printing it and sending it over. So basically, it's the secret tax. You know, if you want to, they always say the best way to cheat on your taxes legally, which sounds ironic there, but to legally cheat on your taxes is to beat inflation and to put your stuff, your money into, you know, hard assets that are going to hold value.
Right.
Because that's the biggest tax that you're paying right now.
Is inflation.
Is inflation. Is them paying, you know, printing money nonstop because they don't need to tax you on paper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But attrition, I like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I saw ratio recently. I can't remember what it was, but it was like every dollar spent by Americans versus every dollar spent by Russians. And the Russian economy is really starting to shit the bed, starting to collapse. They can't even sell their oil anymore because they're out of oil that they've pumped.
Yeah.
So they have to save it all for themselves, for their own military. They're like, their inflation is going through the roof, worse than the US, but that's not saying anything.
Now, you gas know. Was down. I mean, not to Trump prices, but gas was down at the pump on the way home last night. It was like $3.39 a gallon. So I was like, oh,
what's... Yeah. Well, you're in North Carolina. I'm in New York. That we ain't paying the same gas prices up there. Yeah.
Because it had been hanging around $3.49, $3.59 for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah. And now I'm not at the $2 Trump gas or anything. We're at the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The $3.50 sounds good, you know?
Yeah.
You're paying more than that?
Yeah. $3.70.
Oh, I haven't seen $3.70. Yeah. Now, Uncle Whiskey said he disagreed with something. I don't know what happened there. I was in some rant, and then
you were ranting about sending all that money to Ukraine.
Oh.
I don't know if that's what he disagreed with, but
that's I was.
I disagree with that. And so when I saw him disagree, I just assumed that he was
on board with you.
Whatever.
Now what's your take on that money to Ukraine? We'll have to.
I personally think it's, I personally support it. The main reason is
our money, their bodies.
They're free. Yeah. They're a free country that's being invaded by a dictatorship. I mean, why would you support a dictatorship over a republic?
Whoa, wait. Did I say that I was supporting Russia? I just said don't give them any money.
Two, I really like seeing all the high-tech U.S. weapons going against the high-tech Russia and Chinese weapons, and we're really starting to see who's got the best shit. It's like, this is like, you know, first in world history since World War II, you know what I mean? We're really seeing some top-notch weapons going against each other. Super excited about the drone warfare. Have you seen some of these Ukrainian videos? They've got like drones like that you buy from a hobby store.
Best Buy or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, with the cameras. And they're going up and just dropping hand grenades on people.
Nice.
To me, that's it's classy. Just like, it's just cool
the
shit.
Innovation.
Yeah.
The creativity. The U.S. actually has a new drone called the Mojave, mm-hmm. like the desert, I guess.
Right.
And that actually carries the Hellfire missiles.
Okay. All right.
And they're look. We had the Reapers and the Predators, and they're terrifying too. But just the Mojave's the new thing, and it's supposed to be a little cooler and a little better. It's smaller and lightweight. Needs a 120 meter runway, and
that's pretty damn short.
Intimidating. Yeah. So
it's basically like Skynet. Eventually, those things will be turned around and just start wiping out all the humans.
I'm doing an audiobook right now. I actually can probably give you a name, which I always am like, oh, I'm reading an audiobook, but I have no idea.
Listening to an audiobook?
Yeah, whatever. Listen, jerk.
Yeah.
Ryan's show, The Age of Embers, complete series off Audible.
Okay.
And we're an Audible. Well, maybe they are an advertiser. I don't even know what commercials they put up on here, but this isn't a pitch for Audible if it is. But anyway, I end up getting those books, and I try and do the ones that are like 50 hours for one credit.
Right. You know, so you can,
you know, I'm cheap.
Go through one for an hour.
Okay, I'm good for a month, you know, on that. Right. And, but Age of Embers, and it's basically the quantum computer decides that it hates people and, basically turns all the U.S. drones against the U.S. cities. And same thing, it's using all your like Best Buy drones and your little stuff are like scouting for all the other ones. Right. And they're out looking, and then all the Reapers and Predators and apparently Mojave drones are coming in and just shooting everybody up and taking them out. And, you know, hey, it's a brutal world out there. I think that, you know, AI could definitely have a hand in the future of war. You know, it is going to be, it's going to be a game changer. Yeah. All right. Now I know Kevin's got things to do and 50 minutes. That's where we're hanging in there.
Yeah. I guess we're,
you were worried. Kevin's got to get,
I think that I could do, I could have done this in a two or three episodes, but I think that artillery and missiles and future weapons, maybe it's a little bit boring for people to listen to for 3 weeks in a row.
I did skip a couple. You may want to check out the Javelin, which has been around a while, but the FGM-148 has infrared guidance, and you're shooting down tanks and cool shit with that, and pretty badass. They're handheld, but they're like thick. Beefy, you know, handheld rockets. I don't know. I'm just kind of looking over the notes, seeing I missed some cool things. That Hellfire Ninja missile we actually used in 2017 to kill Abu Qair al-Masari.
Oh, was that was the guy in Iraq, right?
Yeah, and they were in the car, two guys driving, and took him out. But, you know, hey, different things. But anyway, also wanted to say I've been talking to people. They've been getting the new shirt that I'm wearing that you can't see with the beard.
Okay.
Survival and Basic Badass podcast shirts. You can get them at preppingbadass.com. People are saying they are good and they love wearing them every day. And it's their favorite shirt. And I was like,
excellent.
And we're talking about shirt quality, not just design. I mean, obviously it goes without, you know, words that the design and representing the Survival and Basic Badass podcast would be, you know, a good choice. Another buddy of mine chimed in. He's like, yeah, I'm yelling at my wife because you autographed that one for her and she's wearing it. And he's like, I'm like, why would you wear it? He's autographed that. You need to keep it. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you need important to frame it, and that important. So, you know, hey, you got to keep your options open. You can also go over to patreon.com. If you sign up, it's patreon.com/preppingbadass. They have it set up so that you can, if you pledge $10 a month, you get a free mug. If you do $20 a month, you get a free t-shirt. So you can just cut to the chase and just go get a t-shirt at preppingbadass.com.
All right. So anyway, how much is the t-shirts if I just buy the t-shirt if I just go to the Patreon?
I think they're around 25, 26 bucks.
So if you donate on Patreon, you can get a shirt cheaper then.
And that's the thing. If you just do 1 month, you could cancel your subscription and you would actually come out ahead about $5.
Nice.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
All right.
You know, hey, it's a commitment you might want to make. Chris did finally get around and tell me what mug he wanted, and I still haven't shipped it out. I'm afternoon. I'm a jerk, and he's going to be on to me. But I'm just saying, we keep that between us, and you know, that's how it is. Anyway, with that, I would say questions, concerns, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.